and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Obviously, we've been talking a whole lot about college football stuff and what's going on in Knoxville, but plenty of stuff going on in the good old AFC South as well, including Houston. Sarah Barshop joins us now. She covers the Texans for ESPN. Sarah, thanks for jumping on with us today. Appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. So let's start with this. What's the latest on Deshaun Watson, who we all love as a player and hate to see him the twice a year that we have to see him? You've got a generational player, and he just seems to get madder by the day.
Yeah, it's been kind of a mess here. And the interesting part is that we haven't heard from Deshaun Watson himself. I've talked to people in the organization. I've seen other reports. People around him have spoken. We've looked at his tweets and his Instagram likes, but we really haven't heard from him. So to me, the next step is kind of, does he really want to trade? Is he going to come out and demand that trade? Is he going to comment on the situation? Is he going to be involved in these head coaching interviews that are happening? Is he going to let, you know, be a part of that? Because if that is, that's a step toward like repairing that relationship. And that's a good sign for the Texans. If he's choosing not to be part of this process, and if he chooses, you know, to say, I'm really considering a trade, I'm not happy here, I think that's something where the Texans got to be really concerned if they hear that come out of his mouth.
How easy could this have just been avoided, do you think?
A phone call, I think. Look, who's to say? I haven't talked to Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he's unhappy with the organization and this is how it's manifesting, kind of, if he's choosing this as the outlet to express his concerns about the direction of the organization. That might have happened regardless of if Cal McNair had picked up the phone. But right now, it seems like the problem is that Deshaun Watson did not find out who they were hiring for general manager until he saw it on social media. If that's the root of the problem, it could have all been solved by McNair following through on the promise to Deshaun. When he talked to Deshaun and following through that promise that he would be part of this process. Seems like a very simple solution. At least in hindsight, it seems like that could have been fixed pretty easily.
Man, Sarah Barshop joins us, ESPN covering the Texans.
Well, Sarah, with that being said, then, being a former player, I don't know if I should be really involved in the GM hire. And I get, you know, the coach, you want to make sure you co-sign. Do you think players should be, even at his level and the money he's making and how great a player he is, be involved in more managerial, executive type decisions?
When I heard this, I didn't think so. I mean, when I heard this news, I thought, why did he want to give input into this process? And now from talking to people around him in this organization, what it seems to me is that he was more upset that, so I'll back up a little bit. So at the end of the season press conference, he said, we need a culture shift. He talked about how, you know, we need a leader. We don't have a foundation right now. And that to me tells you that he wasn't happy with the direction the franchise was going in. And this was a chance for kind of a fresh start. And so then he sees this hire. He wasn't part of the process, and he sees this hire of Nick Caserio, someone from New England, someone where he's had a lot of experience with people from that organization, and Bill O'Brien, of course, and then Jack Easterby coming over here. And so I think for him, he even tweeted, some things never change. And so it seems like the mindset was just, wow, am I really not getting this fresh start? Is the organization going to continue down this path that led to their head coach and GM being fired 4 games after he was named, you know, officially the GM? And so I think for him, it's just been a little bit of what's going on. So I agree. I don't know that he should be involved in this process, but if Cal McNair told him that he would be, and he thought he was going to help shape the direction of this organization, especially because Cal McNair did say that the GM would have a lot of say in the head coaching hire, which of course, like you said, is important for Deshaun. I think that's kind of where maybe the miscommunication between the pair broke down, and that's why he's so upset.
Oh, man. You know what? Now I'm going to go back to Easterby. What is his role? And maybe that's what he's referring to now, hearing the whole story with the New England connection. And we keep going down the same road. And a lot of people don't like how Easterby goes about his business. What is his role? And how much is he liked? And how much power does he have in the organization?
The power thing is an interesting thing, because he came in, he was hired by Cal McNair and Bill O'Brien. And Bill O'Brien kind of referred to him as his right-hand man. I mean, he helped Bill O'Brien talked about how Jack Easterby did a lot of Deshaun Watson's contract, has done a lot of negotiations, was basically did whatever Bill O'Brien asked him to. We saw him at practice. He was throwing passes to people, you know, and he was warming up players and throwing passes to receivers. Like, we saw him all over the organization. He kind of had his hand in everything. And so I don't know how much power he has. Now, the time he was given power is after Bill O'Brien was fired. Cal McNair told him he had the responsibility of personnel. He was essentially named interim general manager. Now, since Nick Caserio is hired, I think there's less power involved. I mean, Cal McNair and Caserio in the press conference made it very clear that Jack will help Nick with whatever he needs, but it is Nick's job and Nick has the final say. So I don't know how much he'll be involved going forward. I don't know what specific, like maybe he'll go back to being part of, I mean, he helped with everything, I've been told, like things in the weight room or scheduling and like everything you can be involved in. He kind of helped run, I don't know. I think behind the scenes he was involved in a lot. And so maybe he'll go back to more like the football operation side, which is what he was hired to do as opposed to personnel.
Who do you think are, I guess, on the punch list, the top three candidates for the coaching job now?
I think Eric Bieniemy is obviously the name that's been talked about. I think it'll be really interesting to see if they think that's the right fit, because Deshaun Watson has obviously mentioned him. And I think the key though for the Texans is to make sure they're hiring him, because that's who they want and they believe in, because I'm sure Bieniemy doesn't want to be hired just to appease a quarterback as well, you know?
Right.
And then some of the other names have kind of fallen off the board because they've been hired by other teams. And so I think it'll be interesting to see now. There's two openings left, Philadelphia and Houston, and how long, if Houston waits out Philadelphia and just says, you're going to hire who you hire, and then we're going to take our time to maybe get Deshaun Watson more involved, or just take a longer look at these candidates. Because once that opening's filled, there's really no rush, you know, except that you want to get ready for the next part of this, you know, free agency and the draft and all that. But I think Bieniemy is probably the most talked about candidate right now. And I'll be really interested to see if the Texans do go in that direction.
I want to ask one little thing about, Bieniemy before we hand it back over to Mickey Wren with Sarah Barship of ESPN that covers the Texans. And that is, have you guys looked into his background and his arrest? A lot of people are saying that's why he hasn't actually gotten a job yet. Has that been any concern by anyone there who does their homework and digging on, I guess, I don't know, what's the time frame of those arrests or anything, and what's the significance of those? What were they? Was it just a citation, or was it something in depth and a little bit deeper is why he hasn't actually gotten the opportunity to be a head coach?
That's actually a conversation I had with someone last night. I was doing a little bit of reading. I won't say I'm an expert in this, but I did a little bit of reading on that because I was wondering the same thing. And I asked someone in the organization, and I was told that that's definitely something they've talked about. So whether or not that is the something that is going to stop them from hiring him, but they're aware of it, I'll say that. And it's definitely a conversation that has been had and will be had as they consider whether he's going to be their next head coach.
We're with Sarah Barship of ESPN. That covers the Texans for NFL. For the NFL Nation.
How big of a problem is Cal McNair in all this?
I mean, I've said a couple times, like it starts at the top. Like, people want to pile on Jack Easterby and look, criticize who you want. Everyone, you know, can be criticized, but who hired him? Who has enabled him? Who had any Bill O'Brien too, right? Like, a lot of these decisions you're talking about, DeAndre Hopkins being traded, contracts handed out, trading for two first round picks for Laramie Tunsil, that was done by Bill O'Brien, but who gave him that extra power and who signed off on the deals? Cal McNair. So I think it's a problem. There's, if you look at the things that have happened to this organization in the last 2 years, and look, things at the end of his father's tenure with this team were not great either. But I think you have to look at what's happened in the last 2+ years and say it hasn't been trending in a good direction under Cal McNair. And that's, unfortunately for Texans fans, something that's not easy to fix, right? He owns the team and I don't think he's going to sell this team. And so I think it will be just a matter of, look, if they get these hires right, Cal McNair doesn't really have to be involved in this anymore in a day-to-day thing. He trusts Caserio. He trusts whoever they hire as head coach. Well, then he can take a step back and say, I put my faith in the right people. The problem is he did that with Bill O'Brien, and that toward the end certainly did not work out.
Part of this piece of the puzzle that was getting talked about at the end of the season, but it's just been buried under all this other mess, is what happens with J.J. Watt now?
It wouldn't surprise me if he's traded. I just think with – so I asked him, you know, he had said, well, I'm not interested in being part of a rebuild. And I asked him at the end of the season, I said, well, do you consider this a rebuild? Because obviously you have the quarterback. And he said, there's a lot of decisions that have to make – that have to be made, and I'll have to see how that goes before I can make that determination. And if you look at the first 3 weeks of the offseason, it seems like it's not going in the right direction for what J.J. Watt would want to see. Now, maybe they've smoothing everything over with Deshaun and things are good. But I just think when you look at how many years he probably has left, and he said, you know, I feel like I have a couple great years left, but certainly not 10, you know, and he wants to win. And do we think this is a Super Bowl contender next year? I don't think so. And so if the Texans are thinking about, do we want to pay $17.5 million for J.J. Watt to be good on a bad team? Yeah, they probably don't want to. And if it can be a win-win where they get the salary off the books and they can trade him to somewhere he wants to play, where he thinks he can win, that's probably just about the best split you can have if he's not going to finish his career with this franchise.
Well, and they're absolutely in salary cap hell as well right now too. So any move that you make would have to look towards something that could save you some money, I would think.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, you hope you get maybe a pick or two back too, but yeah, absolutely the salary cap's a problem. We don't even know what the project, we don't even know what the cap is going to be, but when they look at it, you've got David Johnson under contract, you've got Brandon Cooks making $12 million a year, Whitney Merciless is making $13.5 million. I mean, there's just so many big contracts on this team, and some of them, it'll be pretty, I mean, they can cut players. With Cooks, maybe you hope that you can extend him so you lower that cap hit. So I think there's going to be a lot of decisions for Caserio to make. The first one was probably smoothing over everything with Deshaun, but after that, I think he's going to have a lot to work with on this team, just in terms of all the veteran and bloated contracts kind of on this roster.
With Sarah Barshop, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, covering the Houston Texans.
Well, I only have one question. That is, what happens next for Deshaun Watson? Will he be on the team, or will they actually trade a franchise quarterback?
I can't see how they trade him. Now, I do think this could get very ugly before it gets better, especially because we're at the time of the year where really you can't do anything. I mean, we're talking about we're still 2 months away from the start of the league year. Right. So I think it get pretty ugly. I think the Texans know they cannot trade him, right? Like, it comes down to that. He's under contract for 5 more years. Obviously, if he feels strongly enough about this and he wants to say, I'm going to sit out and I'm not going to play for you, it has to be a different discussion. But I think right now, the way the organization stands is they say he hasn't even demanded a trade. I mean, really, he hasn't spoken publicly about this. He hasn't really spoken to them. And so I think it's kind of like, let's let everything settle. Please be a part of this head coaching process. We want your input. And maybe we can get to a point where both sides are happy. But you guys have seen what the first 15 years of the franchise looked like with no franchise quarterback. They finally have him. I just think it's going to be really, really hard to convince anyone in Houston, especially Cal McNair, that the right move is trading that guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And if he's taking any advice from Harden, and he's going to speak publicly, he's going to try to get out of there as soon as possible. I just don't see Watson being that kind of guy, kind of a high character guy. If he's going to do his business, he's not going to do his business out in public.
Yeah, I mean, that's what will be interesting to see is how much the organization is even going to talk. I mean, maybe they're talking right now. We don't know. So it'll be interesting to see how much more comes out about his unhappiness, or if we kind of feel like the narrative shifts to, okay, how can we make him happy because we want to make this work?
Yeah. Well, being a Titans fan, I hope he gets out the heck out of there. But we all know that's probably not going to happen. We're on with Sarah Barship of ESPN that covers the Texans.
I would imagine the thing is, though, surely you guys have had out the old Jimmy Johnson trade-ometer, you know, the old trade thing where this is worth this if you trade it. I can't imagine what sort of king's ransom, if they just finally threw up their hands and said, okay, you're never going to play, it's got to, I can't imagine the king's ransom that he would bring.
Yeah, and especially when you think about, does he even want to go to a team that has to basically mortgage their entire future and the money they can put around him and build around him, because they're not going to have these draft picks to get impact players. Like, do you want to go there? Or is that going to be the same situation in Houston where you feel like the pieces aren't there? I just think it's going to get to a point where there's going to be no deal that the Texans feel is fair. And then another team thinks like, yeah, he's really, really good, but we'd rather have. So like, for example, there's not that many quarterbacks that you would say you don't want Deshaun Watson over, right? But even so, like, say you're talking Lamar Jackson, like I would take Deshaun Watson over Lamar Jackson, but would I take Lamar Jackson and 3 or 4 first round picks for Deshaun Watson? Like, that's the conversation. So yeah, I mean, I think that's the other part of this issue, is that what could be fair in both parties' eyes to get this deal done.
Let's kind of tie a couple of worlds together, because we've been talking a lot about this Tennessee coaching vacancy that came available yesterday. One of the names on the board for Vegas at different places is Bill O'Brien. What's old Billy O? What do you think he'd be like returning? What do you think old Billy O would be like returning to the college ranks as a head coach? Because he certainly had a lot of power with the Texans. What do you think he'd be, you know, like stepping back into college football if he were to get a job like Tennessee?
I mean, I think college is a good fit for him. I think you talk about that. No, you talk about that control. Where do you have that control? You have it in college. You can set exactly everything you want. You're not, you know, these players are not being paid. You know, you really can run this program. And he did a good job of that at Penn State. And he came to the NFL where, the, you know, all of a sudden players are looking around like, oh, what do you mean you get to make that decision about me? And, oh, what do you mean? Like, we have a general manager who's going to make that decision. So I think, look, I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think college is the place for him to go now. Certainly next, I don't think he's going to get another head coaching job in the NFL. Right. And so if you're talking about, does he want to be a coordinator again, or does he want to go be a head coach somewhere? It's probably going to be in college.
Sports in Houston are just straight bananas right now. I mean, do you guys just all, cause we're kind of laughing about, here we are 3 years later, coaching search in Tennessee, AD search, but holy cow, between the Astros and James Harden, and now this, I would imagine the text strands between Houston reporters are pretty epic right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm lucky that I cover one team, and so I can focus on that. But our AP reporter here and some of our other reporters, you know, I'm like, oh, I guess this is a very busy, like, you know, the same night Harden's being talked about being traded, and this Deshaun stuff is coming up. And it's like, how are the Astros, the team which a year ago fired their head coach and, or sorry, their manager and general manager over a cheating scandal, are like the most functional team of these three major sports here, because with the Rockets and everything going on Harden, and then whatever happening with the Texans, it's certainly not one of those two teams.
Sarah, great stuff. I appreciate you joining us today. I have to catch you and get just, you know, keep you on speed dial as more things happen in Houston. But I will say this, I think Titans fans do enjoy, because Houston kind of owned this division for a while, kept winning it. And, you know, we're bringing J.J. Watt in here and leaving with a bunch of sacks and beating up the quarterbacks and everything else. But just fascinating to see what's going on down there. Thanks for the perspective.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Sarah. You're having J.J. to the Titans.
Yeah, hey, right, man. You never know. Thanks, Sarah. At Sarah Barshop, you can follow her. Again, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, covering the Texans. Blaine and Mickey right here on 104.5 The Zone. J.J. Watt, did you kick the tires on him? I mean,
we are at so this point in his career. Pass rush. I know he's his health, but man, I know he could at least get 5-6 sacks. I mean, he at least had. Yeah, I mean, man, he's still good enough to help out tremendously, especially with the Titans. But I'm sure the Texans or the Titans would be traded for him. So in the division, I just don't see it happening, but I sure wish.
I think the only way they're going to be able to move on from him if they want to is cut him. He is owed $17,500,000 next year. $17,500,000. There's no dead cap for them to cut him. It doesn't look like, according to SpotTrack. I think he can just, at this point, he's been under this contract for so long, I think he can be cut. With no dead cap is what it looks like. So $17,500,000 if you trade for him. Probably not going to see that happen with anybody for JJ at this point in his career.
Nope.
Coach Mack is going to join us coming up in what, about 45 minutes or so. We'll keep the Titans talk going. We'll keep the Titans talk going as well. As well as the Vols talk, it's Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.